Greetings, horror fans, and welcome to episode 216 of Frightmares. I am your host, Austin Proctor, and joining me today is someone who's never been on the show, but just me and her. It's Miss Aid Santiago. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good.
We're surviving. Yeah, you have been on the show multiple times, usually accompanied by Mikey, but today it is me and you talking about a 70s flick that neither one of us had seen called Alice, Sweet Alice. I chose you because we know that you love your 70s movies, and we were surprised that you hadn't seen this one. So I'm very excited to talk about this movie with you. It was very chaotic. Kind of unhinged too, but I think that's kind of just what the 70s was about. It was just unhinged horror, and I love it. I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great, I enjoyed it. I'm surprised I hadn't watched it, but like I said, I knew about the movie for years, and it's always been on my list, and then I just never got around to doing it, so this is a really good excuse for me to watch it, yeah.
And I feel like even if you haven't seen it, you probably know at least that creepy fucking mask and the yellow rain slicker. Like, I had seen pictures of this before, and I knew about it, but yeah, I just had never seen it. Bought the Arrow version of it like months ago when they were having a sale, and I was like, you know, we're gonna put it on the month or put it on the list for Arrow August, which is the theme this month, where we are doing Arrow releases. So yeah, Alice, Sweet Alice from 1976. We will get there momentarily. I do have some horror news, though, as I always find. It's kind of lacking this week, but it is what it is. If you're a fan of Joe Lynch, he actually has a new horror movie coming out. Hitting theaters and VOD, called Suitable Flesh, which is a very weird name. But it is a brand new, like, H.P. Lovecraft adaptation starring Barbara Crampton, Heather Graham, Bruce Davidson, and Jonah Ray. It's going to be gleefully gruesome with no small amount of throwbacks to the 80s and 90s with Joe Lynch directing it. What's not to be excited about? I can't fucking think of one thing that he's directed, but I know I've seen. Hold on. What is he directed? Why don't I write this shit down beforehand?
Didn't he do The Sacrament? Or no, that's. He's in The Sacrament, right?
Is he?
Okay, hold on.
Wait, I think you're right. Hold on. Joe, A Suitable Flesh. Let's see here. I should have written this down. I'm so unprepared today.
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
Suitable Flesh. Joe Lynch. What have you done, Joe Lynch? He directed Mayhem? Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know that. Wrong Turn 2, Mayhem. Chillerama. Oh, my God, I own that. I should be disappointed. Jesus Christ, in Point Blank. Okay. So, yeah, Suitable Flesh has enjoyed a handful of success in the film festival screenings and will soon have another one in Austin, Texas at this year's Fantastic Fest. But it will be releasing sometime in October. I'm not exactly sure when, but it's exciting because it seems that there's just a lot of good horror movies coming out between now and the end of the year. I mean, we still got Saw X, Exorcist, and a whole bunch of other shit. So the synopsis is psychiatrist Elizabeth Derby becomes obsessed with helping a young patient who's suffering from extreme personality disorder. However, it soon leads her into an occult danger as she tries to escape from a horrific fate. I like the occult and I like fucking psychological shit. So have you seen Mayhem? That's the one with Samara Weaving and what's his face? Stephen Yeun?
I think... Oh, no, I haven't seen it. It's the one where they're in the office?
Yeah. It's like that other one, the Belko experiment. It's like that one, except there's like some fucking virus that's going around.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see that. That's on my list, too. It's just, I don't know what it is. Like, I just never see things if it doesn't have anything to do with the show. So
that's fair.
I'm like, but I really like Belko Experiment. And what's that vampire movie that's in the office?
Oh, Bloodsucking Bastards.
Oh, I love that one,
That's a great one, yeah.
Do like an office theme.
An office theme? You could probably do an entire month on slashers of office-themed horror. Oh, my God. There's so many.
I know, yeah.
So many. So yeah, Joe Flesh, Jesus Christ, Joe Lynch's Suitable Flesh this October in select theaters and VOD. Be sure to check that out. If you haven't heard, there's a new movie called It Lives Inside coming out, which looks fucking horrifying. And I believe it's based on like Indian lore, because it's by an Indian director and most of the cast is Indian. So it's very interesting because I don't think I've ever seen a movie like that. But synopsis for that is Sam is desperate to fit in at school, rejecting her Indian culture and family to be like everyone else. When a mythological demon spirit latches onto her former best friend, she must come to terms with her heritage in order to defeat it. And it's being done by Neon. And if you know anything about Neon, they're like A24. So they're an indie filmmaking production company. And I'm always a fan when Neon does horror because they do a great job, just like A24. Did you see Talk to Me yet or no?
No, I haven't seen Talk to Me
Oh my
yet.
God. It
I'm
is
trying
it's
to
way
catch
good.
it, but you know. I know, I heard it's good.
Yeah.
And I know that Joe and Sally over at Much Ado About Nerding, they just did an episode on it. So
Oh,
I've I
nice.
haven't listened to it obviously because I need to see the damn movie first. So
I know that's the problem with some podcasts I listen to. I'm like, okay, I haven't seen the movie, so you know, I have to watch it before in case they spoil it. So It Lives Inside features performances from Megan Suri, who was in Missing, Neeri Bajwa, Mohani Krishna, Veek Sahi from Captain Marvel, and Betty Gabriel from Get Out, all of them working from a screenplay written by Duta from a story by Duta and Ashish Mehta. I am so sorry if I butchered those names. I probably did. So yeah, it seems like it might be like about a djinn or something like that, which is super cool. I love demonic movies. So there's a lot of good stuff coming from indie directors and indie production companies this year. And even Talk to Me, which I mentioned, I think last episode, is also getting a sequel. Well, technically a prequel, but you know, whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they actually had already shot it, so all they really have to do is edit it, post, you know, and do stuff in post, and then it should be out sometime next year. I think this is the second like sequel that A24 has done because they did X, Pearl, and they're even doing Maxine, which is the trilogy from Ty West. I'm still waiting on Maxine. I don't know when that's coming out yet. He released Pearl and X both last year, and Maxine's just taking forever. I'm like, can
Yeah, I wonder why. Oh yeah, I was thinking of Ty West earlier. What the hell is my problem? Oh my God.
Yeah, he
That's
directed
how
The
you
Sacrament.
know I'm hungover.
We're both
Anyway.
struggling today. It's fine.
We are. We are.
Speaking of the theater, though, if you would like to catch John Carpenter's Christine and They Live, they will both be celebrating their anniversaries in theaters. Fathom Events is bringing Christine and They Live back to theaters in September. I think They Live is up first, hitting theaters on September 3rd and September 6th, 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. And then Christine is coming on September 10th and September 13th, also with 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. local showtimes. Tickets can be found on their website at Fathom Events or directly from the box office. I'm not a huge fan of Fathom Events only because it's like a satellite thing that they do, so the sound is never that good, but it is really cool. So if you do want to go see those, feel free to go do that. I'm not a fan of the surround sound with the Fathom Events. It's very like front heavy and it doesn't sound too great. I kind of wish it was just screening or, you know, from the theater, but I might go see They Live because that's like one of my favorite horror movies of all time, especially because John Carpenter is a fucking legend. So yeah, that's fun stuff right there. I might go do that in September, which is, God, I forgot that September is like next week already. Like, Jesus Christ.
I know. I know. I just got my Halloween Horror Nights tickets. We're gonna go on the 8th.
Oh shit. That's right. That's
Yeah.
coming up too. That starts next week. Next fucking week. I'm not
Yeah,
ready.
I know. It starts on Friday, and it's actually like the first Friday that it starts. It's like super expensive that
Oh
day to
yeah.
go, but then the following Friday it was the cheapest day. So, and plus with the fast pass, so it's like $500 later. Here we are.
It's insane. Yeah, we're not getting frequent fear passes this year because, you know, we have a fucking baby, so we can't have a babysitter every weekend. Although I'm sure one of the parents would not mind. But yeah, they were so expensive this year. Our tickets are usually between like $300 and $400 for the, you know, express frequent fear. This year they were $700, and I was like, I don't have that money right now. That's way too much fucking money. So we're gonna go one time, I think, on the 22nd in October. Because we wanted to see, because we're having an Exorcist Believer house, and I'm like, okay, well, that's not even releasing till the 13th of October. So we wanted to go see the movie before we go through a house that is featured, you know, that house might have spoil. I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do. So we're trying to make sure we can see the movie before we go to Halloween Horror Nights. But we're going on October 22nd, I think, which is like a Sunday. But this will be the first year since 2015 that I haven't had a frequent fear pass. So it's not upsetting me at all. I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah, no, I go every year, but we just go, you know, the one time and we get the fast pass so we can see everything. And I think, you know, because I'm not going to go every weekend, even though I have year passes.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
I
Yeah.
know.
We had to give
Well,
those up a while back just because they got too fucking expensive. It was like 50 or $60 a month, and I'm like, we don't even go enough to warrant having freaking
yeah.
passes.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna let him go next year because like we never go. So I'm like,
Yeah.
why, you know, I'm wasting $65 a month. Anyways,
So
I know the plight of living in
I know we have
Florida.
all these fucking theme parks in our backyard and just don't go nearly as much as I want to. Let's see here. Next up, if you're a fan of VHS 85 or the VHS series, please bear with me today. I'm still buffering from waking up like a couple hours ago. My God. Found footage phenomenon returns with the sixth installment coming to Shudder this October. There's actually a trailer that's out right now. It's only about a minute. It's more of a teaser trailer than anything, but it is available online if you'd like to go see it. Last year's VHS 99 broke viewership records with Shudder. Through its first 4 days of release, the film registered 28% more unique viewers than its previous record holder, which was VHS 94, which premiered on Shudder in 2021. VHS 99 almost accounted for nearly 22% of on-demand streams on Shudder during the same time, and was AMC's number one most watched movie of the weekend. So this one obviously takes place in the 80s. They're just doing this thing now where it's like they're just picking a year and going with that year, which whatever, I'll watch literally anything that they do. So they've got, let's see, we've got produced by Josh Goldblum, Brad Miska, David Bruckner, Radio Silence, James Harris, Michael Schreiber, and Adam Borstein. If I'm saying that right, VHS 85 premieres on Shudder October 6th. Cannot believe they've done six of these fucking movies.
I know. And I can't. Did I watch the last one? I don't know. I don't even know if I saw the newest one. I think I did.
What was it? 99? I think it was 99 was the most recent one.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to, because they all blend together. My favorite installment is two. The best one.
That is absolutely the best one. Oh my God. That one is fucking bananas. Now I have to see every time they release a new one, I watch all the previous ones, but now it's getting to the point where I have to watch like five or six movies to catch up. And I'm like, God damn it. Maybe I'll just skip Viral. Viral's not that great. I think we can all agree Viral is pretty much the weakest entry.
I did see that one and I can't even remember what happened. So.
I'm surprised they made more after Viral, because Viral was not that great. And then they did two more and now there's a third one and there'll probably be six more. Who fucking knows?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of anthologies anyway, but
No,
I mean, I like I think one of my favorites would have to be like Trick or Treat or Tales of Halloween.
Trick or Treat is fucking awesome.
Christmas Horror Story is good too.
Is that an anthology? Really good.
Yeah, Christmas Story is an anthology. Christmas Horror Story.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you got to see it. That one's really good.
I'll put that on the list this year for Christmas horror. Yeah, I love anthologies. It just depends on you gotta have the right people in the mix. And David Bruckner, Radio Silence, like I'm already on board with that, because David Bruckner's, he does such good stuff, but he like doesn't direct a lot of things. He did The Ritual for Netflix, which is one of my favorite Netflix horror movies. I think it's fucking brilliant. And of course, Radio Silence has been doing the latest Scream movies. They also did other shorts with VHS as well. So I don't know who these other fucking people are, but I'm sure they're great too. last but not least, here we have a new Australian horror movie coming out in September, on September 1st, being dubbed as a welcome return to the outback horror genre, called Beaten to Death. It has been shocking audiences since its premiere at Night of Horror International Film Festival, which Horror Hounds praise the Wentworthy violence and extreme subject matter. I don't know about you. I love a good Aussie horror movie. If you've ever seen The Loved Ones, that is probably my favorite. Have you seen that? That was a fucking brutal movie. Oh, my God.
Is that Australia or New Zealand?
Australian.
Oh, okay. I thought it was New Zealand.
I'll double check. Those do kind of get interchanged a little bit. Let me double check.
I love the Wormwood.
The apocalypse one, or the zombie one.
It's so good. And Bloody Hell is really good too.
Oh, that's Australian.
Well,
that's a good one.
I thought it was Australian. I don't know, but it takes place in Europe, so who the hell knows? Okay, what is Bloody Hell?
Loved Ones is Australian. Okay, so that's good. I'm glad I didn't completely mess that up.
I couldn't remember. Oh no, The Loved Ones is great. What a great movie.
Yeah, that one's not one that's talked about a lot, and I think it needs to be. It's even like centered around, I think, isn't it centered around like Valentine's Day too or something? It's like centered around some romantic dance at school where a man gets kicked.
I think it's the Sadie Hawkins dance or something.
Oh my God, Sadie Hawkins.
I don't know. Yeah, anyway,
that's a fucking
brutal
one.
She's a nutbag. I follow her on Instagram.
You follow her?
The actress. She's pretty. I mean, she's not a nutbag in real life. But.
Oh, okay. In real life, I was like, oh no.
Not in real life. No, no. I mean, because it's an old, it's an old movie. Like, if you think about it, I think it's about 10 years old now, right?
I think it's 2009. It's 14 years old. Yeah.
14 years old. Yeah. So I keep thinking everybody's still the same age, but they're not. They're obviously much older now, but it was one of the first movies, like when Dan was still trying to impress me, he got it for us to
Okay.
watch.
Okay, that's a good one to lead with. Oh my
I know,
God.
but you know, now he could care less, so there you
Oh
go.
my goodness. Sean Byrne directed it. He also did The Devil's Candy, which is another just fucking brilliant
Oh, I
movie.
love The Devil's Candy.
He's only done two
Such a good
movies.
movie.
I know, he's done so one in 2009, one in 2015, so we're due for another Sean Byrne movie. What is he? You got anything in the can there, guy? Nothing. God damn. I would love to see another movie from him.
And both of those films are just so fleshed out. The characters are really well done.
Oh
Like
yeah.
everything is just so good about both movies. So I'm shocked that there aren't more.
Yeah, I'm shocked he doesn't have anything going on right now because yeah, if you've never seen Devil's Candy, that is another one. Like I said, it's so good. The main actor, yeah, Ethan Embry is fucking amazing in that. Pruitt Taylor Vance also is fucking amazing. He plays a great lunatic. You might know him from Identity or Constantine. He's a kind of a bigger guy, bald with, the goatee. He's fucking amazing in that. That is a movie I will always fucking watch or always recommend too. Like, you never seen this one? Fuck yeah. Beaten to death unfolds after a desperate choice leads a man named Jack down a path that leaves him beaten and bruised as he struggles against man, nature, and his own insanity. Stranded in the middle of nowhere after barely surviving a horrific assault, Jack encounters one local after another and quickly learns that a sick game of cat and mouse is about to begin. Battling the deranged country psychos and the harsh landscape, Jack must go to extreme lengths to survive. Yeah, being stranded in Australia, fuck that. I don't even want to visit them ever because everything there just looks like it wants to kill you. I mean, with all the fucking. No thanks. I'm good. So being lost in the African, Australian desert, fuck that shit. I am gonna pass on that. No fucking thank you. I mean, I'd go to Sydney or something, like a big city, but I don't ever want to go to like
No,
the.
not to the Outback or anything like
No
that,
fucking
no.
way. I see all these TikToks about people and the fucking spiders the size of dinner plates. Fuck that, man. I don't think so.
Yeah, and it's really hot there too, apparently. And like their seasons are opposite from ours.
Which always
But
blows my mind. It's so weird to think that their winter is summer and their summer is. That's so weird to me.
yeah, I know.
Like, do they still celebrate Christmas? It's just
Well,
hot as
my
shit.
Hugh Jackman is Australian, so you know,
Oh, yeah,
I
he is.
always figure my man. Anyway.
Still waiting on Deadpool 3, but I know that the whole, the SAG strike is putting an end, not an end, but delaying a lot of things. I know Dune 2 just got pushed back. Whole bunch of other shit. Oh, and in completely unrelated news, did you hear that Bob Barker died today?
Yeah, I just
Fuck.
saw that right before I sent you the link. I'm like, oh,
I mean, he was
Bob
99. It's like I get it, but it's also like, God damn it! I thought he was like Betty White. Like he was just never gonna die, and we've lost her her last year, and then him this year. I'm like, God damn it!
died. I
I'm
know, it's
tired of all
very
these.
disheartening.
And Drew Carey is just slowly turning into Bob Barker ever since he t started taking over the Price is Right. He
Oh
lost all that
gosh.
weight. He's got I'm just like, you're just slowly turning into Bob Barker. It's so weird.
I haven't even, you know what? I haven't even watched it with him on it, so I wouldn't even know. Let
Honestly.
me.
I thought it was a weird move, but I watched some episodes with him. I'm like, you know what? He's actually a fucking solid choice. I was kind of surprised when I saw that he was doing pretty well on it. So,
Oh yeah, I guess he did lose weight.
yeah, he lost a lot of weight. He's like super skinny now.
I'm 65. Shit,
Drew
he's old
Carey,
there too.
65? Jesus. I just learned the other day that Tom Atkins is 88, and I'm like, holy shit, I need to go see. I
Oh,
know. I need to go see him at a horror convention like ASAP. I did not
I
know he was
know.
88 years old. I'm like, oh God.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Because I mean, I would love to meet him. He seems like he'd be so much fun.
He's coming to
Yeah.
Spookala?
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah, he's going to be in
Yeah, he's
Spookala.
gonna be
Okay.
there. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to make it, but the next convention that he's at, I'm like, I'm going and I'm gonna get my Night of the Creeps NECA figurine signed by him.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah. I know Spooky Empire's coming up. There's a really good lineup too.
Oh yeah, when is that? Is that October, right?
October,
Okay.
yeah.
I
So
haven't
that's
seen
gonna be a lot
anything
of
from them
fun.
actually. Who's gonna
Oh,
be there?
it's October 27 to 29.
Okay.
And
Oh,
we
this is their 20th
have
year too? Holy shit. God
Darren
damn.
Stein is gonna be there. We interviewed him on our show,
Oh.
the writer director of Jawbreaker.
Nice.
Scott Taylor Compton, Julie Benz is gonna be there.
Julie Benz. Oh, heartthrob. Oh my God.
I know, I
Ooh,
know.
I might have to go see her. What was she in that was? Oh, she was in Saw 5. That's right. And Dexter, of course.
So Claire Higgins, who plays Julia in Hellraiser, will be there.
Oh,
and
shit.
Andrew Robinson from
Okay.
Hellraiser.
Whoa.
Rebecca Gayheart will be there. Also, we could do like a Jawbreaker thing because Julie Benz and Rebecca Gayheart are going to be there. How exciting.
I just recently heard about Jawbreaker and I'm waiting for Gabby to watch it, but that sounds fucking unhinged as shit. Oh my God.
Oh, it's one of my favorite movies. I used to love it when I was a kid. And
yeah.
You know,
okay.
And Jake and I did it. We ended up interviewing Darren Stein. He was the nicest person you could
Nice.
ever talk to. Like, so fucking cool. I adore him. So. Brian Krause, Danielle Harris, she's always there. Alex Vincent's always there too.
Alex Amanda, Vincent, yes.
Yeah, he's always stoned as shit. I just love it. Amanda Weiss, who plays Tina from, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh,
Bill Moseley's gonna be there. Tom
Ooh.
Savini, Rose McGowan.
Whoa, okay. I might have to tell Gabby about Rose McGowan. She fucking adores her.
I mean,
so do
they're
I.
Doing
but...
like a Jawbreaker thing, yeah. And then,
okay.
Bill Moseley, Cassandra Peterson, obviously, Elvira,
Tony Todd. Ooh, Tony Todd's gonna be
Tony
there.
Tony Todd's gonna be there. Yeah.
Whoa.
I've met him before. Greg Nicotero, Jenna Jameson.
Jenna Jameson.
That'd be fun.
What?
Yeah, it could be Jenna Jameson.
What is she in besides porn?
Apparently, she's in a horror movie.
What?
She's probably in one horror movie, and then, you know, now she's at all these conventions. Like, you know, who wouldn't go take a? I'd go take a picture with her. Fuck,
fuck
it.
Yeah.
Doug Bradley, Robert Englund, Kane Hodder. So it's gonna be. I think this is probably one of the better lineups, in my opinion.
Yeah,
because,
that's solid. Wow.
Yeah, last time we went, I really went for obviously. Jason Patrick and Billy Worth from The Lost Boys.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to do all of that. So that was really exciting. But besides that, there weren't a lot of people that I wanted to see that year. Cause it was like all about Twin Peaks and I could care less.
Yeah.
I am not a Twin Peaks fan.
So
the whole fucking cast was there. So that was like the big shtick and like, whatever. Anyway, sorry.
So Jenna Jameson has appeared in films like Zombie Strippers, Howard Stern's Private Parts, Evil Breed, The Legend of Sam Hain, and Sons of Anarchy. So I did not know that.
Well, there you go. See?
All right, Jenna Jameson. She's doing things and stuff. Wow.
Well, that's
okay.
Just like Katie Morgan, too. You know, they kind of like crossed over into, because they're more obviously better celebrities than most porn actors. So good for them.
Good
I
for them
it.
Breaking into horror. Also, the Chiodo brothers are going to be there, which is cool. They're the guys behind Killer Clowns from Outer Space. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a stacked lineup. Holy shit. I'm surprised I haven't really seen their posts lately.
Yeah,
sure.
I get the emails all the time because we usually go like once a year.
Yeah,
because
they do it twice
really...
in a year, right? They do
yeah,
it in May and October, something like that.
They do it, yeah. They do it in June, and they do it again in
or
October.
Or June, okay, yeah. Yeah.
So
All right.
We went in June? Yeah. Did we go in June? I can't remember. Shit. To Spooky Empire. Was that June? Or October? I don't know. Anyway, I'm hungover, everybody.
Welcome to the show.
Gonna blame Austin for that one.
No, I blame myself too. It's fine. Spooky Empire. I'm gonna have to go. There's too many people that I want to see now, but I'm gonna, you know, and I'm gonna spend all this money. I guarantee Scout Taylor Compton and Daniel Harris are probably doing. Oh my God, I'm looking at her picture right now. She looks nothing like she did in Rob Zombie's Halloween at all. She looks completely different.
Which one?
Scout Taylor Compton, the one who played Laurie. She looks totally different. Holy
She's
shit.
Like totally into fitness now, but I follow her and Danielle Harris because of their podcast, you know.
Oh,
there's
talk...
not enough horror podcasts.
what is it? Talk Scary to Me?
Yeah, Talk Spooky to Me
something
or
like that,
whatever
yeah.
it is. Yeah. So.
All right. Wow.
They look great. Last time I did meet Danielle Harris a couple Spooky Empires ago. She was really nice. Like, you know, of course, Dan was all smitten. Asking her how old she was and Don't Tell Mom Babysitter's Dead. I'm like, oh my God, don't ask her that.
Dan, God.
I know. I just leave you two alone then.
Oh, goodness. That's something I will have to go. I'm sure it won't take much convincing of Gabby to go see Rose McGowan and some other people.
You could take the baby too.
Oh, fuck yeah. I could absolutely do that.
There's always kids there. Yeah. There's like always a shit ton of kids running around there. So,
yeah. Our theme this year for decorating for Halloween is trick or treat. And we're going to dress her up in a little Sam outfit that Gabby's making. So I'm very excited for that.
Oh, that's exciting. I love it.
And I'm going to dress up as Mr. Krieg. Is that his name? Krieger? The old Brian Cox from
Cox, yeah.
Yeah, the long hair and the robe and the bat. And I'm going to be yelling at kids to get off my yard. It's going to be fucking great.
Love
it's
that. Be great. That'll be fun.
I guess we should get on to the topic of the hour here. Have we seen this? No, neither one of us have. This is Alice, Sweet Alice from 1976. Moving on to the IMDb roundup here. Released on November 13th of that year in the U.S., it is rated R for mild sex and nudity, severe violence and gore, mild profanity, mild alcohol, drugs, and smoking, and severe frightening and intense scenes. Coming in at an hour and 47 minutes, listed as a crime, drama, horror, mystery thriller. It's a lot of fucking genres going on. Directed by a man named Alfred Soule, and he didn't really do much. He directed five things. This was his, like, first feature. He also directed Tanya's Island and Pandemonium, which I've never heard of. Written by Rosemary Ritvo, who literally has one writing credit, and it's for this movie. Did nothing else after this. That's very weird. Also written by Alfred Soule, who directed it, who also did two episodes of the Friday the 13th TV series. We have composed by Stephen Lawrence, and I don't know how this man went from a horror movie to composing things like Sesame Street, but he did. And he's done like a bunch of Sesame Street home videos and all that shit. So that's a weird transition. I could not find a cinematographer on this. So don't know who did that. That wasn't listed on IMDb, which I don't think has ever happened. So whoever you are.
It's probably on the Wikipedia.
Ooh, see if it is. Yeah, I was
yeah, let me
Wikipedia.
Look right now. Yeah. Well, I go there and then I go to IMDb and then I look for random crap and that's where I usually. But you know, I always feel bad about Wikipedia because it's always asking me for money and I use it so much. And you think that I would?
Does it ask you for money?
Yeah, because it's like, oh, if everyone could just donate $5, I'm like, oh my god, stop asking me for money. Cinematography by John Freeberg and Chuck Hall. So, John Freeberg and Chuck Hall.
Oh, two people. Oh,
this is how you know I'm still hungover. I can't even talk right now.
Freeberg. Okay.
Freeberg. Yeah.
Freeberg. F R E B E R G.
F R I B E R G.
Okay, so it's not the guy from Lady and the Tramp. Got it.
No. Sorry. Freeberg. But you know, and it's interesting because like this film, like when you put it on, it's so odd because I think it takes place in 1961.
It does,
so
yeah.
So it's set like more than 10 years prior, right?
Yeah, 15 years prior.
15 years, yeah.
Super weird.
So like why would you like what difference does it make, I guess?
But, yeah, I don't know.
So
apparently he's only camera operator for Alice, Sweet Alice, and that's it. So I don't know how this fucking movie got made with all these nobodies, and then they just didn't fucking do anything after this. It's so bizarre because it's even edited by a man named M. Edward Salier, who also edited one of the most atrocious movies in existence, which is the Garbage Pail Kids movie. I don't know who the fuck let that movie happen. Shame on them.
Oh my god, don't let some of our hosts hear that.
I love it. I think it's very campy and cheesy and funny, but my god, those Garbage Pail Kids are the things of nightmares. Oh my goodness.
Oh well, go ahead, sorry.
Oh no, you're good. What are you gonna say?
Oh no, I just clicked on Linda Miller's name.
Yeah,
and she's Jason Patrick's mother.
Okay.
Of Jason Patrick. Okay. So how funny. And you know what? I was going to say, because there was something in her face that was so familiar.
Yeah.
And I just kind of put my finger on it.
There it is.
And yeah. And so her father is Jackie Gleason.
Whoa. So, okay.
Yeah. Because I knew that his grandfather was Jackie Gleason, but I didn't know that his mother was.
Dude. Okay.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I love it.
Well, speaking of Linda Miller, she plays Catherine. What is it? How do you say their last? Is it Spages or
Spages?
Spages.
Okay. Yeah.
Who was in one episode of Freddy's Nightmares as Kathy Jennings and apparently Robert Patrick's mother. So that's interesting.
No, Jason Patrick.
What did I say? Robert Patrick?
Robert Patrick. Wrong Patrick.
Ah, damn it. We then have Mildred Clinton as Mrs. Trigoni, who was also in Serpico as Mrs. Serpico. Yeah, Paula E. Shepherd as Alice Spages, or Spags, who was only in one other thing called Liquid Sky from 1982. So again, another just no, like nobody.
She was great. That little girl was a great actress. She kind of looked like Parker Posey to me.
That's who she reminded me of. God damn it. I'm like, you look like someone just, I haven't, like someone older, but I can't remember. It's Parker Posey. Okay.
That's Parker Posey. Yeah. And she was great. So I'm shocked I'm surprised. That she didn't do more. Yeah.
To only do one other thing 6 years later. Then we've got Niles McMaster as Dom Spags, who was also in Bloodsucking Freaks as Tom Maverick. And then Jane Lowry as Aunt Annie, which I find fucking hilarious because all I could think about was pretzels every time I heard her say, like, Aunt Annie. I think it's Auntie Anne's, but I thought it was funny. Her name was Aunt Annie. She only had three other acting credits, and I did not recognize any of them. Also, special shout out to Brooke Shields because this was her first ever movie. I think she had like three credits before this for TV shows, but there was a very, very, very young Brooke Shields in this because, like I said, 1976, I think she was like 12 in this movie or something like that. She was very young. And I swear to God, I thought Alice and Karen were fucking twins. They looked so fucking similar. And even the aunt, Annie and Catherine, they fucking looked so similar too. I'm like, is there just a whole bunch of twins in this movie? I was very confused. Because I started it yesterday and finished it today. But Brooke Shields, first ever TV, which is a great, because you imagine like, all right, Brooke, this is your first movie. You're going to die in the first 20 minutes. Like, great, thanks.
I know. And you know, and that's
get burned
the thing
to death.
And of course, with Brooke Shields right now, I don't know if you've seen her documentary.
No.
Anyone, the child, I forget what it is.
No, I have not. Where is it at?
It's on Hulu.
Oh, shit.
So you
okay.
should probably watch it. I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't watched the whole thing because I know it's going to upset me because, you know, she was sexualized so much as a child.
Oh, okay.
And I did
not know that.
Yeah. Like she and her mother was just like her mother basically like ran her life and was like, you know, put her in all of these roles and positions. Like, you know, wow. She was so young in Blue Lagoon having sex on camera and showing her body and
I remember Gabby mentioning that. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
So,
wow. So she's kind of just coming out and talking about it basically.
Yeah. Oh, and man. there was one movie where she's like 12, I think, and she plays a child prostitute
oh
in the
God.
Film. And she has to make out with what's his face, and he's like in his 30s.
Oh. Good grief.
On camera, could you imagine? Like, I mean, it's just completely like,
It's such
so
a BS.
Brooke Shields, and you know what? And she even says that it's amazing that I didn't turn out to be some, you know, drug addict, crazy
right?
person. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, it is amazing to me because most child actresses, especially during that time, because they weren't being protected, let's be honest.
No, not in that age. No, not in the 80s. Definitely not.
So I'm wondering if the girl who played Alice, you know, had to deal with a lot of shit like that, too. And she probably just didn't want to be an actress. You know?
I mean,
so
when you think about it, I guarantee she probably did, because there's a couple times. I mean, shit. What's his name? Mr. Alfonso tries to force himself on her. And I'm like, that's gross. I know she was 19 at the time, but she's playing a 12-year-old.
Yeah,
and
it was that was like scary. Like that's just horrifying, and to put a child in that position, like oh god.
Especially with that, oh god, that gross guy doesn't even look like he fucking changes his clothes. Blech.
Yeah, he's got like piss all over the front of his pants. Like what a fucking nasty character. Like this movie had the little nuances of all the characters in this film. Everything is so fleshed out.
It is.
They did a great job, I think, with that role. It was disgusting.
He was fucking gross, yeah. Mr. Alfonso. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking plenty about him here in a second. Estimated budget of $340,000. Couldn't find a worldwide box office gross. This was filmed in various cities of New Jersey. You can rent this on Amazon for $199. You can buy the Blu-ray, or you can yo-ho-ho it. However you want to watch it, just watch this movie. Speaking of awesome movies, things that came out around the same time, listen to this shit. We've got Assault on Precinct 13, we've got Carrie, we've got Rocky, The Pink Panther Strikes Again, King Kong, A Star is Born, and the original The Town That Dreaded Sundown. So that is some pretty stiff competition right there. Specific horror moments, I think for me, was when Oh, fucking Aunt Annie, when she was getting attacked, that was fucking horrifying. She got like stabbed a couple times, then she's crawling out of the apartment building, just like bleeding and screaming. I was like, oh my God. Cause that's really when the movie really fucking like turns it up a notch. And that's that's like 42 minutes in. So, did you have a moment specifically that was like, whoa?
Well, that was definitely the moment for me because when Karen dies, played by Brooke Shields, and she does die at the beginning, people, so if you're watching this movie for her,
yeah, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, she's gone in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But she, you know, and I realized like they didn't make it a very horrific murder because she is a child, right?
Right,
so they probably don't want to show that. And so I thought, oh God, is the rest of this going to be like that? But when they were stabbing Annie, first in the foot, then the leg, and it was just relentless. And
just
she's
like,
screaming,
oh,
and the sister's running downstairs, and then she's crawling out, like literally just just covered in blood. And this actress did an amazing performance, I thought, for that, because it's like you're just so like she's just losing her shit, you know?
Her reaction was very visceral and believable.
Yeah, it was a really good scene. And I was like, oh, fuck, then. I was like, so the rest of this movie is going to be like this. And I got really excited. So.
And even when she goes out in the rain and the blood just starts to, like, pour down the sidewalk and you get that really nice shot from above where they're dragging her into the car. I was like, man, that was fucking intense. I was like, holy shit. My favorite kill was probably, well, I'd have to say Dominic, just because it was so drawn out. I mean, he gets stabbed in the arm, then he gets bludgeoned with the brick, and then he gets fucking pushed out of the building all tied up. I was like, good Christ, that was a little dramatic. So I'm going to go with Dominic for my favorite, because there's not a bunch of kills in this, but I think Dominic stood out the most to me. What about you? Yeah.
Well, you know, I was going to say Alfonso until the very end when the priest gets it.
Dude. And I'm like, oh my God.
And he was so cocky. Oh, she's not going to hurt me. She's not going to. She fucking did, man. She just went for it.
In front of God and everybody, like the entire congregation, I was like, oh, that's how we're going to end this movie. All right. Fucking okay. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, that was a really good one. Just right in the fucking neck with that knife. I didn't really have a favorite, or I'd probably say least favorite was Alfonso, because he was just a gross man. But I really didn't have a favorite character. It's not to say that I didn't like anybody, but it's like, okay, so you have Annie, who's great actress, great performance, annoying as shit. Then you have Catherine, who's completely blind and oblivious and thinks that Alice is perfect and she didn't do any of this. And then you have the dad, who's also convinced, and he's trying to get to the bottom of this. And then you have the cops that are, you know, everyone's just not really, I don't know, there isn't really a person that I was like, man, I like you a lot. But I don't know, you felt the same way, I think. There wasn't really anybody that you were like, ooh, you're like a great person.
Yeah, like I think that Annie was probably the most interesting to watch. But Annie's husband was pretty funny because he was like so aloof.
Oh my God. He looked like fucking Kip from Napoleon Dynamite.
yeah, I know, bless his heart. And like, you know, it was just one of those things where like you could tell she was like, she just ran the household.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm just here existing. That's what I do. I do what I'm told.
You know, but it was really hard. Like, I really felt that performance, though, when he got to the hospital, because, you know, as much as she runs him over, he still really loves her, right?
So, yeah, oh, yeah, he's committed.
Yeah. So I, you know, it was just there wasn't any one, I guess, you know, the girl playing Alice, Paula Shepherd, she did fantastic.
I thought she was great. Yeah.
She was a little psychopath.
I mean, firecracker.
Yeah. And, you know, because the thing is like, even though Alice, like a lot of bad things happen to her, I never really feel sorry for her, because I think there's just something. And then, of course, the ending confirms there's something very evil with Alice.
Yeah.
And regardless.
And I'm still confused. When we get to that point, we'll discuss it. But I'm still confused as to exactly, did she do it or didn't she? You know, like it's kind of misleading. So I had one line that I thought was kind of funny. And it's in regards to Catherine when they're like mourning the loss of their daughter. I think it's at the funeral. Someone comes up to her and she's like, I don't want to rush you, but mass begins at 9. I'm like, bitch, this
that
is
was
my
Annie.
This is my daughter's funeral, you psycho. The fuck is wrong with you?
She's such a bitch. Like, even when they're sitting in the car, what did she say about the husband, the ex-husband when he came? And she was like, it was so insensitive. Like, oh,
Something, yeah, she said something like derogatory towards him about, I can't remember what it was, but yeah, she was raising some shit, man.
Like, I'm surprised he was able to make it to his own. I don't know. I forget what she said.
Something like that.
Yeah, but it was pretty savage. And I'm like, oh, this is what we're doing here? Like, this is where this movie's going.
She's out for blood. So IMDb summary real quick is, in 1961, a divorced Catholic couple's life is turned upside down when one of their two adolescent daughters is suspected of her younger sister's brutal murder during her first Holy Communion and a series of subsequent stabbings. And I thought it was really weird at first because the original title of this actually is Communion, and that's what pops up on screen for the title sequence. It says Communion. So if you're watching this movie, don't be confused. It is still Alice, Sweet Alice, but I'm wondering why they...
It has another name too, because with the version I got, it said Holy Something. So it was a different name than Communion. Yeah, I forgot what it was called. Huh. So I don't know. I think I'm just speculating that they didn't want the church implicated.
Okay.
Like, so they probably had to change the title.
The name, yeah. So let's get into this here. So it's, like I said, starts off with the title sequence saying Communion. It's pretty much, you don't really get any cold open or anything. You just get right into it. And I want to talk about this family as their dynamic, because I was telling you earlier that I feel like the entire fucking family is either off their fucking meds or they're just all crazy, because Aunt Annie is just flying by the seat of her pants and she doesn't give a fuck what anybody thinks. You've got Alice, who obviously has some screws loose, and it's never explained as to why, and I think I find that the most scary. It's like, they don't ever explain what's wrong with her. Was it the upbringing? Was it her family's divorce? Like, what made Alice the way that she is?
Well, I think when they take her to the, when she's committed for that little time, the lady does it say that she has schizophrenia.
Oh, that's right. She does. Yeah. Okay.
So, but imagine in the 60s having something like this.
Yeah. Undiagnosed, right?
Exactly. So I
okay,
I'm not
so,
a psychiatrist, so I don't want to get into that, but you know.
So that's right. She does have like schizophrenic tendencies when the doctor does diagnose her. And I'm still wondering and this is where I get confused, because obviously we're going to go into spoilers here, because Karen dies, and we think it's at the hands of Alice because she's got like that little shrine in the basement with that big trunk, and there's a mask in there and roaches, which I'm not really sure why she has roaches in there, but she does, and she has
she tortures the roaches.
Oh, is that what she was doing?
Yeah, she lights the thing and watches them. Like, so she's...
Oh.
And then I remember she kills the kitten, so there's...
Oh, that's right, there, she does. Oh,
there's, there's obviously she gets pleasure. She's a little sadistic, right? So she gets pleasure watching other things suffer.
Okay.
And so, yeah. And like, you know, even though Alfonso was disgusting, he was correct, because he even says that, you know, well, your aunt and I are very perceptive. We see you for what you are.
Yeah, he's like, I can't wait to tell the cops what I know. And she's like, oh, bitch, I bet you are.
I love that she calls him Fatso in the whole movie. It's like, it's just really mean.
So mean. She's like, yeah, fatty, you stuck in the chair? Like, goddamn.
I know. And he's just, and he, you know, he does try to force himself on her. So at that point, I didn't mind her being mean to him.
Yeah.
But at the beginning of them. Yeah. So who knows how long that's been going on.
Right, because I'm sure they've lived there for, you know, you don't know how long they've lived there. They've obviously been there for a while, because they have a weird rapport with Mr. Alfonso, who's just this...
He's their landlord.
Yeah, he's their landlord. He owns the building. He lives in the building. He's just a weirdo who refers to himself as mommy to his kittens and has a goldfish in this bowl of what looks like just piss. That water has never been changed in that goldfish's poor life. He's a very just abhorrent man. Yeah, you assume that Alice kills Karen because she does it at the first communion. Alice is not there, and what does she do to her? She like, did she stab her and then light her on fire? I can't remember what she did to her.
They strangle her and puts her body in the thing and then lights it on fire, and then one of the nuns finds it. During communion.
So during the course of this film, two people are murdered in this fucking church. I don't know about you, but if I was a member of that church, I would stop going to that church. And even in the end, when the priest gets stabbed, all of the congregation just goes up and just starts looking at it. And I'm like, I would be out the fucking door. Why are you people still here? So yeah, you're off the bat. You think there's obviously something wrong with Alice. She kills her sister. And then it's so interesting because it kicks off with that. And then there's kind of this, not really like a dip, but it's more of like a character study on Alice. And then it goes into her when they're in the apartment building, and you think she's stabbing Annie again. And I still don't know, because it's revealed later on. There's this lady named Mrs. What's her name?
Mrs. Tredone.
Yeah.
She's like the maid in the priest's house.
Yes. I had to look it up because it was described as a rectory, and a rectory is a home that's like, you know, paid for by the church where the, you know, minister lives. And Father Tom is the, you know, the minister of this church, and Mrs. Tredone is his housekeeper, because it's revealed much later in the movie that she's actually the killer. And it confused me because I was like, okay, so it wasn't Alice, it was Mrs. Tredone this whole time. Why is she killing these people? I mean, I know why she killed Dom, which is Catherine Spaeg's divorced husband, who is now married to someone else, because while she is like doing all this stuff to him, she's like, I know that Alice was conceived before you got married, and like, that's why she's killing him. Why did she fucking kill Karen?
Because the children pay for the sins of their parents.
Oh, that's right. She did say that. And later on, when she points the knife at Catherine, and Catherine's like, oh, okay, crazy. Okay. Yeah. So she kills Karen. Then she tries to, and okay. So then why was Annie on her hit list too then?
So that's where I was confused too. Okay. So the thing is, and this is where that's a little confusing. So I'm sure I could look it up, but I didn't.
Okay.
I was drinking last night, obviously, and now I'm hungover. But that's where it's confusing, because she says in the lie detector test that Karen, who is Brooke Shields' character, Karen stabbed the aunt.
And who's dead. But at that point in the movie, Karen's already been killed. So
why? And then the lie detector test showed that she wasn't lying about that, though.
Yeah.
So that's strange. So was it her think, like, was it her and she just imagined it to be Karen?
Right.
Like, that's how she, like, you know, whatever. And so we don't really know, because that's the only, why would Tredone go there to kill the aunt?
Yeah, that one didn't make sense to me. And honestly, I thought the reveal was going to be that, because they mentioned the schizophrenia, I thought maybe Alice had kind of multiple personalities and was taking on other people and committing these murders. But then when it's revealed that it's Mrs. Tredone, and you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense as to why you killed the kid and Dom. But I don't know why Annie was on the hit list. And even at the end of the movie, when Alice is, it's a great shot of Alice walking down the aisles of the pews. She takes Mrs. Tredone's bag that has the knife in it and kind of looks at it and like looks right into the camera and smiles. So you're like, was Mrs. Tredone trying to set you up? Did you do some of the murders and she did some of the murders? That's the only thing I can't figure out about this movie, is I'm not sure Mrs. Tredone did every single murder. I don't know if that's how it's supposed to be, if you're supposed to wonder if Alice did some of them, because they both have the same rain, or the same yellow, like, rain slicker. They still have the same mask. So it's like, I'm still so confused. I'm going to obviously look up one of those YouTube ending explains and see if maybe someone knows. But
So this is the only thing I can think of with that. This is my theory, is that Tredone knew that Alice was having all those problems at school, right?
That's right, yeah.
And the priest kept it from the mom because... Father Tom kept it from Kathy because she was divorced and he didn't want to alarm her. He thought he could just handle it on his own and deal with it there. So what I'm thinking is Tredone knows that Alice is a little nut job. Basically wears the coat and has the same, one of the same masks. Alice is always running around with all these crazy masks.
That mask is so fucking creepy. Oh.
So that if she was caught, people would assume it was Alice.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I think.
Okay.
So maybe stabbing the aunt was another way for her to pin it on Alice.
Okay.
But then obviously by the end, we know that Alice is probably going to keep, you know, was probably going to do the same things because she likes to watch things suffer.
Yeah, that's what I got from the ending, was I was like, okay, either she was a part of this and is just smiling because she got away with it, or she's smiling because she's going to like kind of pick up the mantle, is that the right word, of Mrs. Trelawney and continue on her killing spree or something like that.
Yeah.
Because
so I think that might be the second one. Sounds a little bit more
okay. That makes
reasonable.
Sense. And yeah, because I was wondering, I was like, okay, she's got the roaches and she like put something in there too. I didn't know what it was, but I was like, what is that? And then she does fucking completely goosh that kitten. That was, and she really grabs that thing by the neck too. I was like, oh man, yeah. PETA would be very upset with this right now.
And, well, when they switched shots, you could tell it was a doll that she was holding. It was
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's why I was like, I'm like, oh, the cat. And the then, cat. You know. I'm like, it looks a little fake. Okay. So obviously, yeah.
Okay, I was like, damn, because then she just throws the kitten down. I'm like, god damn, okay.
She killed it, yeah. Because she's screaming, you killed my kitten. And I'm like, that's horrible.
That's horrible. Like, I'm not a huge fan of cats, but I would never do that. I mean, good god. I'm also allergic to them, so. But yeah, Alice, oh my god, she's got a fucking some screws loose. I mean, it makes sense, though, because back then, you know, I don't think we had nearly the same quality of like psychiatric help that we do now. So she probably could have had undiagnosed schizophrenia for her entire life. And I wouldn't be surprised if it ran in the family because like I said, her whole entire family is kind of crazy, especially Aunt Annie. But that does make sense. I think that's probably a good theory. She probably attacked the aunt just to further solidify that. Hey, you know, cause Aunt Annie and Alice didn't really have the greatest relationship. And Annie was suspicious of Alice this entire time. I'm like, why are you suspicious of a fucking child? I mean, I don't think a child is, especially a 12-year-old child. I'm not saying they're not capable of stuff like that, but it just seems weird just because Alice wasn't there when Karen died. It was like, oh, it's immediately her. And even the cops were on Annie's side with just believing it. And there's even that moment in the hospital where Annie's like, it was Alice. It was, and you're like, bitch, you don't know who it was because they were wearing a mask. Like,
well,
so.
Yeah, but she knows that Alice has that mask
that's
and Alice
true.
Has the same coat. And that's
true.
You know, and Alice was in the basement at the time that this happened. So
she's always just not there, you know? It's so crazy.
Yeah. And then the whole thing trying to pin it on Annie's daughter, Angela, trying to say, okay, well, she has the same slicker, same raincoat, right?
Yep.
The same whatever, trying to say that, okay, maybe she's the one doing the killings. And I was thinking, well, she would be the one who would want to stab her mom, right? Because
she's crazy.
Her mom was such a bitch to her and like fat shamed her and stuff.
She did. So. She's like, isn't that enough food? Haven't you had enough? I'm like, damn, just let her eat. It's okay.
But that's how moms were. I mean, that's how we grew up, right? I mean, my mom was like that. Like, you know,
my aunt would do that too. If I gained a little weight when I was younger, she'd be like, oh, you're putting on some weight. I'm like, fuck you. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Rude.
Yeah. Because, you know.
God forbid you're a little chunky. Yeah. Jeez. So, yeah, that whole family, I think, is just completely fucked in the head. But, yeah. excuse me. I think as a whole, the movie was, there were some definite kind of slower parts, but I don't know. I never found myself being bored. I found all the dialogue to be very interesting, and I was pretty much glued to the TV the entire time. It could have been maybe like a little bit shorter. Hour 47 is a bit long. But like I said, I didn't find any of it boring. And there was a lot of good horror moments in this movie. A lot of good practical effects, and they didn't shy away from the blood. So I think... Yeah. Overall, this was a solid movie, and I'm glad that you enjoyed it as well as I did, because sometimes when I pick movies for people, I was on a bad streak with Mikey where I'd pick like two or three horror movies in a row where he was like, Austin, why are you making me watch these? I'm like, I'm sorry, okay? I'm doing my best, but this one had good ratings, so I was pretty confident in this one.
Mikey is hard to please. We know this. But you know, and that's
love
the
you,
thing,
Mikey.
I enjoy 70s horror because of the nuances and the acting and the performances that you get, because everything tends to be obviously more practical too, because it is the 70s. So, you know, I always enjoy that because there's just something so visceral and like evil about, you know, the tone of some of these 70s horror. Like, I love Black Christmas. It's just, you know, Black Christmas is probably one of my favorite movies, and just every little thing, you know, the scripts are important in these films.
Oh yeah.
And so you don't get that a lot. I mean, now I think we get that now a lot with A24.
Oh
but
yeah.
But like, Some of the horror that we get is hokey, and we like that too. I mean, it's not that I dislike, some of the slasher films or whatever, but you're not going to get like a really good film,
Right.
so I think that that's why, and I did find a review, some asshole on IMDb.
Oh, God.
What did he say? People are set on fire in churches, and the film still manages to be dull. So,
What? Come on.
which I think is just bullshit because honestly, it's not a dull movie. But if you don't dialogue, if you don't like that, if you just want a complete gore fest, there is a lot of gore in the movie. But if you just want that, then this is obviously not the movie for you. I don't really think it's a slow burn though, because it hits the ground running with killing Karen right away.
Yeah, and it goes into kind of, they polygraph her, they put her in, like, I guess an institute or whatever, where they're kind of studying her. And it really just feels like a character study on Alice. And she's even not there for, like, I'd say towards the end of the film, there's like 30 minutes where it switches focus from Alice to Mr. Trelawney once that reveal happens. And I found that fascinating. I'm like, wow, we completely changed pace from following Alice's, like, life, and now we're following Mrs. Trelawney's, and then they both link back up at the end. And I thought it was just a very great storytelling, great narrative, just great dialogue, and great performances as well, which you don't get that in a lot of movies. Like, it hit all of the boxes for me. The only thing I was confused on is, did Alice do any of the killings? I feel like she might have done Annie's, but I can also see the motivation from Mrs. Trelawney and trying to pin it on her. It just didn't really fit her narrative with why she was killing people, because, she was killing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the only thing I'm like, I feel like maybe that one was Alice, but I don't know. So,
Yeah.
yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to mention on Alice, Sweet Alice? Anything in your notes?
No. I had a great time with this one, so thank you for having me on.
Yes, of course. Thank you for joining. It was we're a little late, but that's okay. Better late than never. Let me do some post-review stuff here, and then we'll fucking get out of here. So we got some taglines that you can tell me your favorite one. A story of unnatural love and unnatural death. It's too late for prayers. There never was a problem child quite like Alice, and she'll scare you, fascinate you, bewitch you in the most bizarre, thrilling, and dramatic film of the year. Ooh, high stakes for
Yeah.
1976.
Well, that's a good
I
one.
like that one.
Yeah.
So, trivia here, we've got star Paula E. Shepherd, who was playing a 12-year-old, was about 19 years old at the in the making of this movie, which I mentioned earlier. Alfonso de Noble, who played the Spags' perverted landlord, wasn't a professional actor at the time. He was working as a bouncer at a bar, and director Alfred Soul persuaded him to play the role. Before his death in 1978, he got two other acting jobs in low-budget horror films. I could tell he wasn't an actor because his the line delivery was a little kind of like, I don't know, his delivery on some things, I was like, you definitely don't seem like you're an actor. But I enjoyed his performance. I thought he was a weirdo.
Yeah.
And then, of course, debut cinema movie of Brooke Shields, who played Karen Spags. This picture marked her first performance in a theatrically released feature film, according to the article produced in the Los Angeles Times newspaper on May 12th, 1978. And let's see here, going down. No goofs that I could find. Rated 6.4 out of 10 on IMDb, 3.4 out of 5 on Letterboxd. Has a 77% on the tomato meter and a 61% audience score. I gave this movie 4 stars out of 5. If you were to rate it, what would you give it?
Oh, I would give it a 5 out of 5. I thought
A
it was
five out of
great.
five? Oh,
Yeah.
shit. So then that
Yeah,
is
I
a.
loved it.
Okay, 5 out of 5. That is a Frightmare certified slap. Boom. Similar movies according to Letterboxd. We have Black Christmas, Black Xmas, Halloween 1978, The Exorcist 3, and Halloween 2007. Similar movies according to IMDb. We have Happy Birthday to Me, Pieces, Tourist Trap, The Prowler, and Bay of Blood. A lot of good stuff. And I came to the realization last year when I was watching Black Christmas that it is, in fact, a masterpiece. And I love that movie now. I don't know what took me so long to realize that, but when I was watching the 4K in December last year, I was like, okay, something just clicked. And I was like, you know what? I fucking love this movie. Because
Yeah.
I did not like it upon first watching, so.
Well, it's obviously because if you're used to a certain kind of horror film, it is a 70s movie, but it is scary. It
It
is
is.
a creepy fucking movie, especially the ending.
Oh yeah.
And
Oh yeah. That lady's been
when
dead the whole time.
yeah, and when he's when you when he's singing and the you see the door to the attic open.
Oh yeah. It's
And it
so
just gives
well
you the
done.
chills, and then it ends, and it's just Oh, such a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Like, I love that movie.
That's a movie that I watched it. I think I watched it two or three times last Christmas, and I was like, why did I not like this the first time? Because you're right. If you are accustomed to a certain type, or you're expecting a certain type, then yes, it might let you down. But that's why I always give movies a second chance. And with Black Christmas, I'm definitely glad I gave that another chance, because that is something I'll be watching every Christmas. You mentioned one review. Did you find any other funny reviews or bad reviews about this movie?
No, I didn't really see anything that poked out at me. What about you?
I found a couple, some good, some bad, from the Letterboxd. 4 stars from Mike McD. It does not fuck around when pointing its finger at Catholic imagery while creating its own visual vocabulary with disturbing panache. Pretty brilliant. I like that one. Yeah, fucking fancy word, motherfucker. Let's see, 2.5 stars from Frankie from Letterboxd. Stayed for child murder, then got disappointed by how cheesy and uninteresting this got. You stayed for child murder? You fucking psycho? Golly,
Yeah,
what a
what is that?
weirdo.
I
Questioning your
know.
motives there, sir. 2.5 stars from Kevin Wardle Farrell. That's a mouthful. Premise, interesting. Acting, cringe. Overall, meh. Just like this review. And last but not least, 4 stars from DJ Wilson. This is basically Catholic Giallo, right? Which I have to agree with. That Alice, this is where I was like, wow. So I don't even feel comfortable saying this, but he's like, that Alice, what a horrible cunt hair of a kid. Seriously, the worst. Someone put her down already.
Oh my God.
I think my favorite is her upstairs neighbors, played by Anton LaVey's morbidly obese brother. Oh man, does he provide some delightfully cringy moments? If you're into perverts, sure, yeah. Okay. So, Aid, where can people listen to the sultry sound of your voice on your podcast?
Oh, you can listen to us at Slasher's Podcast. Follow us on Instagram, Slasher's Podcast, or Facebook at Slasher's Podcast, or the Mutant Goons from Beyond.
I love that so much. I need a name to reference my listeners. Mutant Goons from Beyond is the fucking coolest shit ever. Who came up with that? Was that Jake?
Of course it was Jake.
Fucking
Yeah,
Jake and his brilliant mind. God, I
he is
love that.
brilliant. I know. We
I
miss
love
him to
that.
death. Love you, Jake.
Love you, Jake. One of these days we'll all get together and meet and have a Frightmares Slashers fucking celebration.
I know. Well, I'm really glad you guys got to meet Doug and Yahira when they were in town. So that was pretty cool.
They
I was happy with
are
that.
literally perfect for each other. Let me tell you,
They are the best. They're the best couple. I
they're
love them.
so fucking adorable. Love you guys too. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Slasher app at Frightmares Podcast. Email is staySpooky@outlook.com. You can follow me personally on Letterboxd at Dr. Proctor. Did you make Letterboxd yet, Aid?
I did, but
You
it's
don't
on the
fucking damn
computer.
it.
I don't have the app. Yeah.
Oh, you're like Jason. He
I'm like
uses.
Jason, yeah.
He uses the web browser like a lunatic. Ow! Love you too,
Well,
Jason.
no, I tried doing it and it was so difficult to do on the app. It was just like a being a pain in the ass. And I'm like, fuck this. Like, it was taking me too long. Like, why is this taking so long?
Oh my
So,
goodness. Well,
I know.
so our next episode will be a bonus episode with me and Mikey. We are going to be doing a movie about clowns. So if you
Ooh.
can't figure that out from that, then too bad for you, but that'll be out in about 3 days. So until then, stay tuned and stay spooky.